Seeking the Wise Wise.
With Aaron and Alexander discussing the Just Philosophy.
Covering self-development, emotional processing, conscious relationships, and five levels of overall wellness.
Welcome to the Wise Wise podcast. I am Aaron Keith, and this is my reflection episode of the five foundation principles of relating episodes 82 and 83. We covered the first four in episode 82 and then forgiveness in episode 83. And the first four, or the whole, all five together are attraction happens, love is developed, trust is earned, respect is given, and forgiveness is a necessity. And listening back to these two episodes, man, it was really, really impactful. Really impactful. This two episode collection is really a guide to relating. I was taken back by how many, bombs that were dropped by Alexander throughout the episode. Things that I have a knowing of nowadays, and things that I use in my everyday practice, weekly practice, monthly practice, were all packed in there. And he did a great job at really explaining how relating happens on the energetic level, and how all of these things can essentially, if we take on the newer perspective of all of these different principles of relating, they can all, really manufacture better relationships for between us and those people, but also within ourselves. I think that's the most important part of this. But I did want to first, take a step back for a second and reflect on the last episode that I did, which was my first solo episode. I listened back and realized that I was very direct and a lot of masculine energy and the way that I was speaking, the way I was saying things, phrasing things, and just my overall energy. I know that I have my throat chakra activated and I can kind of be very overwhelming with that energy. And I felt like that was kind of where I was in that last episode. So realizing that, I'm going to try to shift my energy into more of an open, neutral, and nurturing, if I can, perspective when discussing and sharing my thoughts on these last few episodes. I think I did far too much like directing, and maybe even like you could use the word teaching in the last episode. So that's not really the energy I want to be in. I want to just be in a more sharing role versus like, this is how it is. Even though I feel like a lot about, the things that we discussed, the things that we have discussed over the last 150 episodes, I hold here because it has completely changed my life. It is. I mean, when I say that I was a very fiery Aries, lots of fire energy throughout my chart, a very egoic, self-directed, self-defined person out in the world, and like I was always right, like believe it, that's the person I was 8 years ago. And and then I had a situation where I had the ending of a relationship and a realization that I was alone. I didn't really have a social structure around me because I never put the time into creating one. I didn't have any friends. I was living in the middle of nowhere alone, working remotely. So that was kind of like a low point for me. And, when we get to these like low points, that's like the best opportunity to kind of start a rebuilding structure to, like start a process like this. Not that there's ever not a time, but it was just a perfect timing situation. Like we say in the first Wise Wise episode, it was the right place, right time, right situation, right duration, right location for Alexander and I to meet and for me to really hear the wisdom that he was discussing and how it all just you know, being an empath, it all helped. Things that I would sense in my life, it just kind of like snapped all these things together. So being a very like empathic child, if you're an empath, and I think most of you probably would say that you guys are, you know, we're in touch with things that fall outside of like the physical realm. Like, you know, we're more susceptible on the energetic realm, the emotional realm. So we pick up on these like little cues that normal people wouldn't. And I would just like sense these like energetic things with the people around me, how they related, but I never like thought about them. I never like put them together to see how they all related. I just like would notice these things and I would be able to kind of like recall them. It's, I guess the best way I would describe it would be when you have a meal and you really like close your eyes and you can like taste the different elements, the different, you know, spices in that meal. It's kind of like that, seeing, you know, sensing all those things throughout life. You're seeing all like the ingredients, the way things are kind of structured. But if you didn't know the names of those ingredients when you were tasting them, you would just kind of understand that they were there and it was like something, but it was like something of that created a bigger flavor, but you wouldn't know how to describe it to somebody. And that's exactly that. That's the first time I've ever said it that way. That's exactly what I felt like growing up. And then Alexander was like putting words and structure and meaning to all those things that I had sensed. And so I don't want to say it saved my life because people say that, but I wasn't like at that dark place. But it really, it completely changed my life. And before that, I would have never thought I would be on this path. I had some interest in like spirituality or, you know, truth, but no interest in like self-development. That was just not me. You know, I was kind of the type of person that my ego would get in the way of like going to therapy, even though I did go to therapy, right before I met Alexander. And that is kind of what led into me being open for this. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of lay that out at the beginning. And if you guys felt like that masculine energy, you know, I just want to send my gratitude to you for making your way through it. And that's not the energy that I'm trying to portray here, but I know it can come out sometimes. So I just need to be more conscious and keep that in check when I'm explaining and sharing those things. So I know that I need to do more sharing and less directing because that's where I want to be. So anyway, now transition into the episode. I first wanted to get into attraction because this is something that in the last couple of years since we did this episode, the attraction part has really been a main theme in my life because I am such a creative individual. And when you're creative, you're attracted to things all the time. And I taught myself web development when I was 13 years old. And then when it came time to go to college, I wanted to learn more about web development. I wanted to know like what I was missing from my own like self-taught, you know, lineage. And when I got there, you had to choose like the first half of school, they gave you like design classes and development classes. So you had like the right brain and the left brain. And then halfway through, you had to choose which path you wanted to finish in. And this wasn't actually part of the curriculum initially, but it's just what it ended up being, which is so funny because I actually ended up wanting to be more in the design part because my first class talking about design, I had just like really started juicing on it. And I remember the teacher said, if you want to learn about design, you just start noticing it. You just start looking everywhere and just taking it in and seeing how things are laid out. And so I started doing that. I started, you know, looking at like when I was driving or in a car, like looking at billboards, you know, seeing how things were laid out, seeing how I felt about them, if I felt like it was good design or bad design or why it was either or. And I just thought, I originally thought that design, this is funny too, because this is just like relationships for me. I originally thought design was something that you were either good at or you were bad at. It wasn't like something that you had to learn. But then I realized, because initially I was bad at design, when I would try to do it, I was just so cliche, you know, using like Comic Sans. I mean, I don't know if I get that bad, but that's like cliche, is when like you're making like a flyer in Microsoft Word and you're looking for a font and there's like 7 fonts and you go with Comic Sans. That's like a whole joke of the industry. But it's stuff like that that I would do. And then I would judge myself for it after I knew better. But that's in alignment with where I was with relationships before I met Alexander. I thought relationships just happened or they didn't. Like, you met somebody and you either resonated 100% all the time or, you know, within reason, or you didn't. So if there was ever friction in a relationship, then there was something wrong with the relationship and you shouldn't be with that person. That's kind of where I was. And that was just my ignorant point of view. I didn't really know that relationships were work. And, you know, all of this point of view gets into, you know, the first two principles of relating right off the bat, like attraction happens. And to me, attraction was love. That's what our culture calls it. And that's what I called it. So if you were attracted to somebody, you were supposed to be with them. And that was love, because you just want to be around them all the time. But that's attraction. And then love is developed. That wasn't even a concept in my head, because I felt like love was just there or it wasn't, and that you didn't have to work for it. So I know, like, I can look back and laugh at myself now because I was just so ignorant, but I was a product of my environment. It's just what we're taught. And I mean, it is what it is. So I have like forgiven myself for that, which is, you know, the fifth principle, because I didn't know any better. And so like, that's the step that I used for freeing myself from that self-judgment of basically ruining all my relationships. I mean, again, like, it wasn't all my responsibility, but having that view that love is either there or it's not, and there's no work to be put in. Of course, all your relationships are going to fail, mostly, because relationships bring out the most vulnerable and the most friction that you're going to have, because you are being the most vulnerable, and it's going to bring out, you know, all of your shit, like Alexander says in the forgiveness episode, I think it was, I choose you to show me my shit. So I would be attracted to things all the time. And a lot of this was in my creativity. It was, I'd be attracted to this new idea. Like, I'd have this new idea to, like, you know, be artsy or make money or something, but it would involve being creative. And I would get involved in this, and I would go and start that, whatever that idea was, but then I would lose interest in it, because either it wouldn't go anywhere, or it wasn't going as fast as I wanted, or it got to the point where you had to start using your left brain, which was, you know, to be the structure and the discipline of the business idea, whatever it was. And because business ideas, you know, to be in business, you have to have both the right brain and the left brain. And that's why people hire business managers and stuff like that, because maybe they don't want to do that. But I think that's why artists sometimes are bad at, you know, managing their businesses, because they want to be in the right brain all the time. And I can bring up an example of this when I was into my music last year, in the summer, and then I released the album in the fall. It happened so fast. It happened over 3 months. And I was just so into the creative making music. It was something I've dreamed of doing, and technology had just caught up where I could make music and not know how to play an instrument. So I don't really call myself like a musician, definitely not an artist. Yeah, lightly, but not a musician, you know, because I'm using, you know, digital means. So when I was being creative, I was really in the zone. But once it came to, okay, now I want to release this, I had to shift to the left brain. And then I was like, well, you know, do I want to share this with people? Do I want to promote it? Do I want to, you know, how do I want to do that? Do I want to make like little shorts and clips and stuff? So I started doing that. And then it got to a point where I just got so burnt out because I had been in the zone with all this creativity. And then I had to be completely left brain to master the tracks, to, you know, listen to it on different speaker setups to make sure that it was resonating across all the different avenues that people would listen to music. And it wore me out, and it kind of created this, how would you describe it? This sour tongue type of feeling towards music, because I was in the zone and then I had to do the left brain, and I got burnt out over it, and then I was just done for music for a while. And so that all happened at the end of October, and now it's February, just about March. Tomorrow will be March 1st. Recording this on a leap year on February 29th. And so it's been, you know, about 4 months. And so that kind of creative urge is starting to come back, starting to make its way in, being like, okay, do you want to get more into creativity now? But being a creative person, I like to sample all around, but that's the thing. It's recognizing that attraction for me that I've been working on, that I've known that I need to do. And since we got into this work, is just recognizing and then seeing in your mind about how much work that was going to be and how does that fit into your current priority structure at the moment. And is that something that you want to take on? Because there's a cost. See, you only have so much energy to do these things, and I would have to give up something in order to take on something. So kind of just looking at it that way, and it prevents me from constantly giving out my energy to create new things, which then I have to leave if they don't end up being something that I want to continue. And again, like, I only have so much energy. But this can even go into, you know, when you see people on the street or when you meet somebody, and this is something that I also, you know, had a different view on, was when you met somebody that you felt an attraction for, or maybe that you just loved to talk to. And that doesn't mean that you have to be with them, but when I was younger, I thought that's what it meant. That was love. Like, love is that feeling of being attracted to somebody and that you were supposed to be with them. And of course, like, I'm not saying that you don't need to be with them or that you also can be with them, but there's a reason why we're attracted, and it would be the most beneficial for our work to really sit with that and try to find out like what we're attracted to in this person. And then, is that something that we're lacking, or can we change that into inspiration for our lives instead of having to have that relationship and then learn whatever that lesson is through that? I mean, like, you can definitely do that, but it's just analyzing the cost, bringing in that consciousness to get us back to neutral and out of preference. Oh, here's one of my cats just flying in like a wrecking ball. So it's bringing in consciousness so that we can assess the situation neutrally and then make a conscious choice on what we want to do. But if we're led by our nose, you know, in every direction, every time attraction happens, we're going to like get ourselves into situations that could be chaotic because we're always moving around. And you can see that, like, when Alexander even mentioned it in the last episode, in episode 83, when he was talking about people who don't take time in between relationships, you can tend to just jump right back into a relationship without even knowing the person or why you even like them. And then you may even realize that, okay, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, and then find attraction to somebody else while you're still in that relationship. And then you've just created yourself a chaotic situation there, because you just got out of a relationship and there's probably leftover, you know, stuff with that baggage, emotional stuff. And then you got into this other relationship where you're trying to kind of like mask the emotional stuff from the last one. And then that didn't work out the way you thought, you know, like they talk about the rebound. And then you found somebody else out. And then if you're being led by attraction all the time, then you're probably going to see that one out. And then, you know, it's just chaos. So for me personally, bringing in consciousness, being more defined in my moves and understanding why I'm making my moves and why I'm, if I'm attracted to something, bringing in that intentionalness into, you know, my directions is where I am. Now, I wanted to then now shift over to forgiveness. And I have like a little vulnerable story that I wanted to share. And I hope my mother doesn't mind me sharing. She probably won't. But so I, you know, being in the conspiracy realm, one of the things that came up during like an episode of a podcast that I listened to was circumcision. Or they were talking about how circumcision is really the genital mutilation of men. And there's all this uproar about, you know, genital mutilation of women in third world countries. And a lot of people are trying to stop that and stuff like that. But there's never any like attention on like just looking at bringing in consciousness on circumcision and like why it's actually happening, you know, because it's something that is a like tradition. And, you know, with traditions, they're usually like at some point, people don't question them or understand or pass down the reasons why they do things. They just do them. I think I was trying to make a point on, you know, how we do things that we're not exactly clear on with her. I brought it up to her and I was like, hey, mom, I had just listened to this thing about circumcision and I want to let you know that I understand that you were just going along with what everybody else was doing and you didn't, you know, you were doing the best that you could and it was just common practice to do that back then. And, you know, she was like, oh, Aaron, I didn't know. We just did it because that's what people were doing. And I was like, yeah, mom, I totally get it. I'm not mad at you or anything. I'm not upset. I just wanted to share this perspective with you. And then I remember a couple weeks later, she reached out to me. It was like, Aaron, I'm just so sorry that I just did that and I didn't know. Again, like I had already released her and I had told her that, but it created the space for her to just think about what I brought up. And I didn't bring it up in a blaming way either. I was just trying to make a point in how we could have best intentions, but we don't always know what the cost is of our actions. And if I was angry about that and I went to her and I was like, mom, why did you do this to me? You should have known this. Of course, like she's not going to be in forgiveness. She's not going to be sorry. Like she's not going to be open to even being neutral about it because I'm coming at her aggressively and saying that she was wrong. I'm judging her for making that decision for me in that instance. And so there's no room for her to make that decision on her own. And that's really where I feel like the best, you know, and the more authentic forgiveness is going to happen is when people come to that conclusion on their own. Not if you like force an apology out of them, you know, that's like a pressure. And me coming at her is a pressure. So if you think about like a room, I like to go into visualizations. That's how I kind of like metaphorically see things. Like if I have a room and I shut a door and I just kind of like start pumping red gas, which would be like my energy coming at her and she's over on one side and maybe she has like a little bit of blue gas coming out of her mouth or from around her, the red gas is just gonna like fill the room and take over and not allow her blue gas to be expansive. And maybe her blue in this instance is like her space, her forgiveness, her like authentic self, you know, wanting what's best for everybody in that situation. So if I'm kind of pushing my energy at her, I'm not creating a space for her to even want to, you know, reflect on, you know, on her choices. But if we come at, you know, like I did, like I just presented the evidence because I didn't want an apology. I wasn't looking for an apology. I didn't need an apology from her. I was just, you know, just bringing it up as a metaphor. And then I mentioned to her that like, mom, I don't blame you for that, because I know that, you know, just bringing that up would create a situation where she may judge herself. So I just wanted to mention that I'm not judging you for it, mom. And then, you know, later on she came back and was like, hey, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. I was like, mom, it's totally cool. Like, I get it, you know? So, you know, if you could stay neutral, then, you know, you can get more information out of each situation and make a more conscious decision. So I wanted to share that. And I also had this visualization while listening to this episode, you know, the forgiveness episode, where it's like, if somebody comes at you and they hit you with a hammer and you're like, "Ow, man, you hit me. That hurt. Why did you do that?" And you get angry at them. And then, like, you know, you're angry, they leave. And then every day after that, you're just like, it comes up because, you know, maybe your head hurts or whatever. And you wake up, you're like, "Man, you hit me with a hammer." And then, you know, maybe this was like when you were a child and you just remember that. And then now, like, you're grown up, and when you still think about that person, you're like, "Hit me with a hammer." And so I was thinking that when we don't forgive authentically, because we can have it in a mental, like, "Oh, I forgive that person," you know, mentally. But if it doesn't work true throughout all of our other levels, then, you know, we're really not in total forgiveness. But when we don't forgive, it's like we become the person hitting ourselves with a hammer over and over again after it already happened, over and over again, like from an energetic, mental, and emotional standpoint. We just keep doing the same thing to ourselves. So we're only hurting ourselves when we don't forgive, when we don't try to find forgiveness. And again, like, it's not just an easy, like, "I'm going to forgive this person," click. Yes, we can make it a priority. We can take the time and have an intention to do it. But it does take it's a process. It takes the time. It takes us redirecting our thoughts and trying to understand why the person did it, or even just forgiving them because, you know, they were doing the best they could. And I personally like to use a lot of the time ways that I've messed up, how that made me feel. And so when another person messes up, I can go back to how sorry I was when I messed up. And I could be like, "Man," and I don't want that person to feel like that if it's not a big deal. And I could be like, "Hey, you know, no worries. I got it." You know, so a lot of our relating comes from internally first. And of course, Alexander mentioned this, but that victim mentality is that constantly, you know, recreating that same situation over and over again in our mind, even though it's not happening over and over again. And I want to bring in this other story about the mother of a person I was in a relationship with previously, because it was so hard to be around her. She was a really, really nice person. She would go out of her way to do anything for you if you were in need. But if you were around her long enough, she would start telling these stories about the things that have happened to her, which the story was about my ex's father, who was in their lives early on and then left and, you know, went to do drugs or had other priorities other than wanting to be a father, which in itself, you know, can be judged, you know, right and wrong, blah, blah, blah. But there's a certain level where, you know, that was, you know, 20 years in the past, 25 years in the past, 30 years in the past, 35 years in the past. How long are you going to really hold on to that? And it just got to a point where, you know, whenever you're around her, she would just, it would constantly come out. It would be like she'd be baking bread and you'd be like excited about the bread. But then it was like, "Oh, well, he used to do this." And it got to be so draining to be around her because it's like, she's reliving that situation over and over again. Like, she doesn't like it. She doesn't, obviously she's resisting that it ever happened to her. But in that resistance, she's doing it to herself over and over and over again. And, you know, if you're in self-love, I would ask, like, why would you want that for yourself? Why would you want that for the people around you? Especially the people around you, if it's just energy drainage. And I don't think she was doing it to get like sympathy. But I think it was, she was just stuck on this was wrong. This was wrong. This was wrong. And maybe it was like, I need justice. I need justice. Maybe it was like a justice thing. And may I can kind of recognize that in myself because I have that theme of wanting justice, but I've learned that you can't, you know, justice doesn't always happen in this lifetime. And we're not privy to the overall karmic justice system of this universe. So that's when trust comes in and it's about whatever that person is, you know, needs to learn. They'll learn at some point, maybe not in this lifetime, maybe in the next. But it's not for me to worry about. But anyway, I would see her just be stuck in this pattern and create her own internal suffering constantly. But again, like she was such a nice person. So it's really interesting. And then whenever her ex, the person that she would, you know, be in constant victim mode about, whenever he needed something, because they didn't talk, but she was a nurse practitioner and he knew that. And whenever he needed, you know, something, like an antibiotic or something, he would reach out to her and she would provide it to him. So that's just an interesting dichotomy where she would still provide, but then always be upset about, I guess, him not, you know, getting what he deserved or just, resentment of what he caused, of how he wasn't there, for the kids' lives and all that stuff. So, it's a very interesting story for me to reflect on, because if I stay out of judgment, I can use that story anytime that I find myself in victim mode. I can reflect back on her and say, wow, I didn't like being around that. I didn't like, you know, experiencing that. And I can't even imagine what that would feel like now, if I was stuck in something like that. But if I recognize any part of me that makes me like associate with her, I immediately can go into, okay, Aaron, we have to adjust some things. That's not how we want to live. That's not how we're going to live. And that's a priority of mine. And I'm going to make an intention to adjust this going forward. So that's just one way that I've utilized that experience. I use her as a teacher throughout my life, you know, in various times when I feel like I need it. And this is the way that we can also use attraction in some ways. Not that I was attracted to that situation. I was kind of repulsed. So in a way that is like reverse attraction, you know, cause I'm pushing away. So anytime like cause attraction is a polarity. There's the pull, but there's also the push. So you can even think about when you're pushed away from things, that's a certain level of attraction. It's the other end, but you can utilize that situation to for your self-growth to think about, why am I in friction with this situation or person or thing? What is it about it? That you could still pull inspiration, but you can pull inspiration from, it's just the other side of inspiration. It's like what not to do or to find where my resistance is, and then change my perspective to allow that energy to flow. When we're in resistance and when we're not, it's just two totally different feelings. And once you start to do this work, you can start to get the hang of that and then recognize that resistance earlier and realize that, man, I don't like that feeling. I want to be in the flow and I really need to sit down and work and find that resistance wherever it is. So I just wanted to share all that. I had fun listening to these two episodes. I really felt like they are such pieces of the foundation of the Just philosophy. So if you have not heard these episodes, I would urge you with gratitude for yourself to sign up at the wisewisepodcast.com and become a member. It's only $4.99 a month. You get complete access to all of our 150 plus episodes from our back catalog. Of course, we do offer right now, we offer a number of episodes, a couple of episodes every month for free, the full episodes that we rotate from time to time. And then we also have the like base level foundation episodes always available for you to listen to whenever you need to. And that's stuff like the first episode, right place, right time, right situation, right person. Then we get the five pillars, the five levels, things like that. The structure of this philosophy is always available because these are things that we talk about all the time on the podcast. So we need people to be able to know, like, you know, the definitions of the words that we're using and the concepts and all that, so that we don't have to keep bringing them up every time in an episode. So, you know, if you're serious about your self-development growth, you know, we are here. Again, we have the information to help you. We provide practical tools and techniques for assisting you in working on and processing and managing your emotions, how to have conscious relationships. And yes, there are other like self-development stuff out there. There's always people, you know, on YouTube or Facebook or, you know, the little shorts on TikTok talking about things, but you're not going to find a more concise place where you don't have to worry about finding the things. You can just go to one place and get what you need. And that's what makes the Just philosophy different, or one of the reasons. Of course, my main reason is that it explains life. It just does. It explains relating. It explains energy. It explains that attraction. It explains how we are pulled and pushed away in everything in life. And it explains the subtle energy of life. So if you're ready to tap into that, we're here waiting for you. Include us in your self-development growth. Of course, if you are interested in learning more about your human design and destiny cards, Alexander is available for readings. Really helps for you to understand more about how you were energetically made to interact with these energies, because not everybody's the same. And in that, you'll find that you will be affirmed in like how you felt about certain things throughout your life, but you've just never had the words to describe it. And maybe societal pressures have made you feel like, you know, that wasn't a real part of you, or for you to judge those parts of you. So this helps just shine the light on how you're made, you know, so that you can see yourself without judgment, and then so that you can see your strengths, your weaknesses, and then make a conscious choice on which avenue you want to work on intentionally. And then, you know, if you're in the North Carolina area or you want to travel to that area, Alexander is has ramped up his sound journey through the chakras now. And once spring and summer hits, he'll be doing them outside, which is such a glorious experience. So you could check out his website at thejustphilosophy.com. And it has a little description about what the philosophy is all about. And then it'll have his events and various services that he offers. So if you're looking to improve your life, or maybe you've been listening to us, but you're ready to take the next step, your energetic and monetary support goes a long way. If you can't support us monetarily, then there's always sharing, word of mouth, liking, comments, joining our Facebook group, and all of that. So we appreciate any way that you're willing to share yourselves and your journey with us, and you know, all of your energy for the last 100 plus episodes and on, as we continue both of our journeys sharing with you. So thank you so much. Really appreciate you out there working on you. And until next time. Thank you for listening to this free version of the Wise Wise podcast. To hear the complete conversation and go deeper into the application of the tools and techniques of the Just philosophy, head on over to wisewisepodcast.com and become a premium member. You'll get to hear all of our complete conversations, including the complete episodes of our Inward Journey story series and our entire back catalog, and continue your self-development journey with us. We honor your dedication to self-growth, overall wellness, and continuing to ask the wise whys.
And remember, gradual changes over long periods of time equals lasting results.
Continue on your self-growth journey by visiting thejustphilosophy.com, where you are able to connect personally by booking a private consultation with Alexander in person, by phone, or Zoom. Uncover your authentic self more easily with a human design or destiny card consultation. Here, you will gain information about your energetic makeup, personality, and your higher self, as well as navigating your way through your relationships. There are also multiple types of reports available for purchase that help you gain insight into your career, relationships, and opportunities for self-growth. The site also allows you to view a calendar of Alexander's live performances and class schedule, peruse other products such as shirts, CDs, and finally, the revolutionary VibroTune vibrational sound therapy tables. These contoured therapy tables allow you to bathe in a vibrational sonic bath of frequencies, bringing you into alignment on all levels. You will be feeling and hearing calming music synced through vibration and frequency. So again, you can grab all this goodness at thejustphilosophy.com, thejustphilosophy.com. The Just Philosophy, as discussed in this podcast, has been developed by Alexander over the last 25 years in his personal studies, private practice, and professional environment. The information discussed is intended for educational purposes only and is not meant as a replacement for conventional medicine. Just remember, knowledge plus experience equals wisdom. Seek the wise. We want to thank you for working on you. Keep shining your light and refining your vibe.